11:30, you'll be out of here soon enough to go get all that food I just talked about. All right, like I said on Wednesday, bring your sacrificial seed. Some of you are saying, "What? Well, I didn't know about it on Wednesday." God can speak to you right now, and you still got sacrifice that you can make. Here's what's going to happen. God is going to destroy lack in your life. Well, I ain't got no lack. Lack isn't the money. Lack is something that you're in deficit of. Mm-hmm. Do you have a void in your life? That's lack. I ain't got no void. I got everything together. I got all my ducks in a row. Maybe your ducks are going a little sideways and you need direction. Maybe you need to understand that what God is doing is to teach you something fresh in you, but you're doing it the same way. Maybe you need that kind of inspiration for God to come through and give you revelation knowledge and understanding. That's your lack. Sacrificial seed. I'm going to give you the prescribed way to do it. We're going to do it. I'm going to do it exactly as the Bible says to do it. And as we do it that way, then you can have your donuts. Because that's part of the scripture. I'll show you. If you have your Bibles with you, may remain seated. Go to Acts 4, 24. I'll begin reading out of the King James. This is Acts chapter 4 at verse 24. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, "Lord, thou art God, which has made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them. Who by the mouth of the servant David has said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of this earth stood up and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth against the holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles, and the people of Israel were gathered together for to do whatever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and the signs and the wonders may be done by the name of the holy child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they had assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they spake with the word of God with boldness. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of these things which we possess was his own, but they had all things in common. And when the great power gave to the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Neither was there any among them that lacked." I'll say it again. "Neither was there any among them that lacked. For as many as were possessors of the lands or houses sold them and brought the prices of the things that were sold." Father, I thank you for the reading of your word. I thank you that it's true yesterday, today, and forever. I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you penetrate the mind and heart of your people to prepare for the word to take root into their life. Father, I thank you for the prompting of the Holy Spirit, and I thank you for the effectiveness, Father God, of your word. And I thank you that it will produce its harvest in its season. Father, I thank you that we're in that season right now. In Jesus' mighty name, and all of God's children said, amen. If you would, put your attention to what it says. "And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all." Why would it say that the power was there and great grace was upon them? Why would it say that there? Because that little comma, finish reading what's right after that. What happened? They sold everything they had. You need grace for that. You need grace for that. I'm going to go sell my house. No, I'm not. Yes, you are. No, I'm not. Yes, you are. No, I'm not. Who's speaking? Bind that voice in the name of Jesus. Is you Jesus? I'm sorry. Great grace was upon them all because of what was about to take place. Sell your house, Mom. Sell it. And after you sell it, don't keep none of it. Bring it to the church. Yeah. What you talking about? Sell my house and not keep anything? In other words, I can't keep none of this? Not even a little bit? I got to bring it to the church. That is nothing but the devil. You know how we think? You get challenged and you think, that's the devil. Grace was on them to sacrifice. Grace was on them to sacrifice. But here's the thing. They had to come in one accord. They had to come together in prayer. And they had to get to a certain place. And what they asked for was the boldness. What did God give them? He gave them power, boldness, and great grace. Great grace. Not a little bit of grace. Because you know some of us, if it was back in the day, when Jesus wasn't here, he hadn't gone to the cross yet, and we messed up, we dead. Great grace. Because he's getting you ready for a great sacrifice. Great sacrifice. But not just a sacrifice just to say, sell your stuff and bring it to the house. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about doing away with the lack. There was no lack found among them. None. Why is it that we see churches today shutting their doors? Why do we see the institutions that God has raised up shut doors? Grace was dispensed. But I believe what has happened is people are getting away from sacrifice. I'll just give my 10. Just give my 10. Or I'll give my alms. I just give my alms. You know, you're just going to give to the poor, the man that's on the street that is begging, that has a $40,000 house, $40,000 car, but he just dressed the way to make you feel like he's homeless. And he's not homeless. He don't pay taxes. He got nothing to worry about because you're the one giving him the money to begin with. I'm giving alms to the poor. To say that I'm doing the things of God. No, you're doing the things so you can say I feel better because I did it. I said, no, the great sacrifice comes to the house. His house. His house. So that there was no lack. No lack. There was a shaking. Did you read there that there was a shaking that came when they assembled together? That shaking. Every time you read in Scripture there was a shaking, it happened because of wind. Wind. And every time wind is mentioned in the Bible, it's represented of an angel that has been sent. Sent. When an angel is sent on your behalf, there's a shaking of the foundations for you. It begins to shake so it can change some things around you. And what happens is, we think that we got to fight a certain way to get what we want. I said, no, I got a different way for you. Go to 2 Samuel 5:23. 2 Samuel 5:23 through verse 25. And when David inquired of the Lord, he said, thou shalt not go up, but fetch a compass behind them and come up them over against the mulberry trees. And let it be when thou hearest the sound of going in the tops of the mulberry trees, then that thou shalt bestir thyself, for then shall the Lord go out before thee to smite the host of the Philistines. And David did so as the Lord had commanded him, and smote the Philistines from Geba unto Gezer. Watch this. We've been fighting this thing called lack the same way all the time. We've been fighting this thing. The Philistine is something that opposes you because you believe in Jesus. And this Philistine wants to take you out. But you've been fighting this thing the same way. And God said, no, I don't want you to fight this thing the same way. I want you to go around. Because the enemy knows which way you're going to come at him. Go around. But go to where? A certain place. The mulberry tree. Go to the place where I'm about to do something, but wait. Wait. Until you hear what? A sound above the trees. How come the ground didn't shake where they were standing? Holy feet, holy ground, but the trees begin to shake. I'm sending the angel, the breaker angel, to get into that very place that is lifted up above you, that makes you feel small and minimal. Makes you feel like you're never going to take this giant out. But I am going to cause there to be a wind and a sound. And when this sound comes, that's when I will fight for you. When the sound comes. Then you will destroy the Philistine. I want you to turn to 2 Samuel 6, please. 2 Samuel 6 at verse 12. Say amen when you arrive there. Second Samuel 6, verse 12 through 19. Now it was told King David, saying, the Lord has blessed the house of Obed-Edom, and that belongs to him on account of the ark of God. David went and brought up the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom in the city of David with gladness. And so it was that when the bearers of the ark of the Lord had gone six paces, he sacrificed an ox and a fatling. And David was dancing before the Lord with all his might, and David was wearing a linen ephod. Say linen ephod. The ephod is representative of the will of God. Now, prior to this particular verse, it talks about how he went to go get the ark to return it back, and he has a cart that is made, and an oxen is bringing the cart. It's not the prescribed way, it's the old way. And now he says they went up to the hill to go get it. And they go and get the ark of the covenant, the presence of God. The presence of God is about to be moved. But when you read that, when it gets to the threshing floor, the cart stumbles. And Perez puts his hand out. Have you ever been in a place where the threshing floor causes you to reach out and try to steady the Holy Spirit? Oh, you know what I'm talking about. You try to force things. You try to make change at the threshing floor. The thing that's very interesting to me is that the threshing floor is not used anything else but the beating, the plowing, and the sifting. And guess what does the work? The wind. Because when you begin on the threshing floor, you start beating that thing up left and right. All the wheat and the kernels fall to the ground. But then you got to lift up that thing, toss it in the air, and then the wind does the rest. And it blows away the chaff. Why is it that at that very part of the story, that's when the ark stumbled, was at the threshing floor? And what we do is we reach out to steady it, and we try to move it our way. The Bible says that God killed Perez right there on the spot, right? But when you read in its original language, it says that he made him explode. His whole body in the presence of David and everybody else, they were singing and dancing, having a good old time. David wasn't wearing the ephod. There was no sacrificing going on before that. And made him explode. His whole body exploded. Stephen King couldn't even do that in the movies. But every time you get to a place of shaking, a real place of shaking, your hand wants to reach out and move God. Your hand wants to get in there and try to control the move of God, or control your destiny, or control how the outcome is going to be, or try to control the things that you're not supposed to be controlling. You're supposed to be doing it His way, the prescribed way. Not the way that you think it's supposed to be done, but the way that He wants it to be done. And so when this happens, David said, wait a minute, hold on, God, what's up? You read the Bible, he says he got angry with God. How many of you get angry when you put your hand down? And you're like, God, this is the way, I got to go this way. I'm going to pray this way, I'm going to do these things. And they don't go your way. And then you come back and say, God, what? You chose me. You chose me. You said that I would be king. And that the ark of your covenant would be in my house. I'm moving it to the place of my house. But in the process of moving it, it gets to a threshing floor in the season of your life where it's hard, it's difficult, it's unstable, and you begin to get tripped up. Then you want to put your hand to start making it work. Oh, you know how we do. We try to make it work. You get real sly. We start slinging to make up what we need to make up. Some of y'all don't know that, others do. Or let's bake some cakes. Let's just have a barbecue set. We do whatever we can to make it work, right? I said, no, I'm going to do it my way. First of all, you didn't even come to me in prayer should you move it. Second of all, you didn't make any sacrifices before you moved it. Thirdly, you didn't even get the ephod on you for to be the will of God. You did this on your own. Which is causes always for someone. It always causes casualties in the church. Because remember who was moving the ark? The church. It was the church. Prescribed way. Let nothing unholy touch the holy things of God. So when Perez went to study, nothing wrong. He said, oh my God, that's something precious. We can't let that fall. My God is ever going to fall. Like you're going to trip God up in your situation that you're in. Like he doesn't know how to get you out of it. He doesn't know that you are on the way there. He doesn't know that he can sustain himself. He doesn't need no ox. Watch this. This is going to really freak you out. He don't need no ox moving it. That's a dirty animal. It's a beast. What he wanted is for you to understand there's always a prescribed way for a move of God. And it always begins with a sacrifice. Then the ephod represents the will of God. Have you ever wanted to do something and couldn't do it? Everybody like, yeah, that, yeah. Yeah. Maybe we need to come up on the volume when somebody's sleeping. Every time you try to do something, don't you fall short sometimes? Even though you felt like it was a good idea, but it wasn't a God idea. It was your idea. Good ideas don't mean that it's going to work out for you. Try it sometime and see what happens. You'll get the headache, sleepless nights, and you won't even get any rest. That's how you know you're out of the will of God, because you got no peace, no rest. But what he's trying to tell you is there's a prescribed way to do a certain thing. And it's never about what it looks like. It's what I've instituted from the very beginning of time. You must sacrifice for the move of God. Wish I had some church folks in here for real. Take sacrifice for the move of God. We didn't see this earth change until Jesus came on the scene. And what did he do? He sacrificed his own life. Then the saints of God, the real martyrs of God, were the ones that sacrificed their own life to further the gospel. That's sacrifice. Ask the chicken and the pig, which is a real sacrifice. Huh? Chicken gives the egg. Here's my sacrifice. What does the pig do? I'm giving bacon. Who's got the bigger sacrifice? Did y'all miss that one? The chicken still lives, the pig dies. You know, bacon comes from pigs, right? Just making sure we're paying attention now. Who made a bigger sacrifice? The pig! Chicken went on, just laying more eggs. There ain't no sacrifice here. It's a pilon. Oh, you want some eggs? Here's the egg. You want bacon? Here's my life. We've got to get under that sacrificial mindset that, God, here's my life. Put me on the altar. Put me on the altar. I'm not going to give you something that don't mean nothing. I'm going to give my life that means everything. And when I give my life, God, you have your way. Your way. And let your will be. Not my will. Your will. He wants to get you blessed. He wants to get you out of lack. People say, that's a prosperity message. Well, let me preach to you the poor message then. I want you to just go ahead and quit your job. I don't want you to get any money. And I don't want you, anything that you do, don't take a paycheck. Just do it. Just do it because you want to do it. Do it for free. Don't pay your bills. Don't pay your mortgage. Don't pay your rent. Don't pay your cell phone. I think I got y'all on cell phone. Don't pay your cell phone. What's going to happen? Gonna get cut off. What you gonna do? I'll go sell cans. I'll pick up all the change. Because you do everything you can just to make it continue. A real sacrifice is, God, if you don't want me to have a phone, I won't have a phone. You don't want me to have a computer, I won't have a computer. You don't want me to have a job, I won't have a job. But you have to supply my needs. You better hear the Holy Ghost tell you to quit your job. And I mean, you better know it's the Holy Ghost. You don't go and do all this kind of foolishness. The Lord told me to quit my job. Now I need to go to the church and ask for alms because I need got somebody to pay my bills. You should have thought about that. Did you really hear God? I told my wife, let's go get this truck. I know the Lord's going to bless me and get this truck. He never said that. You said that. And when that truck got on that trailer, called a wrecker, a tow truck, and said, see ya, because you couldn't pay the bill. Don't get mad at God. That was you. And then you get mad at God. That was my prayer closet. Find a new one. That was God. It was so good that I had to get that truck. Because I wasn't satisfied with the one that I had. And it was the same make and model, just different color. And the only reason why I got the truck is it had bigger tires. Just buy tires, not a new truck. We don't miss it all, don't we, Popo? Why? Because I was tempted with the big old tires and chrome wheels. Like, wow. Let's go out of 6% interest to 18. Let's do it. That's God. He's going to provide. And then when it got up on that trailer, it came smooth too. Knocked on, waited until she got home with my truck. Mr. President, I need your keys. I looked at my wife. You didn't hide the truck around the corner and walk 3 blocks? I told you to hide it around the corner and you didn't. God said, why are you getting after her? I didn't tell you to buy that truck. Why are you? Go ahead, girl. I know. Go ahead. Go ahead. She said, make me walk. It's hot outside. You want to hide it? You get in there, hide it yourself. Get mad at God. You better know that you heard God. Not what this says. This, your head right here, this noggin of yours will lead you the wrong way. Every time. And when you get all emotional about it and do things in emotion, watch out, because you're really going to be crying later. Don't ever make a decision based on your emotions, because it's going to lead you the wrong way. Ooh, the wrong way. Let me preach hard in here, the wrong way. Do I got to just pull on my ear? No, yeah, go to another boat, see, going to lead you the wrong way. When you get on emotions, you're going to get led the wrong way. And when you go down the wrong way, you're going to get mad at God. But you want to get all spiritual at that moment. Oh, Lord, will you help me? Help me on my journey. Help me on my way. But Lord, why did you do this unto me? And I think God just looks at me and says, boy, you crazy. Why you want to get spiritual now? Why you want to get our Holy Ghost feel now? Why you got to go ahead and just get all spirit? That ain't the will of God. That ain't the will of God. What is that? That's the will of Marty. You just want to look fly in that big old truck of yours. Check it out. Baby, we got money to pay the bill. We ain't got no money. What happened? Took all your contracts away. Get out of the will of God. Do things on emotions. You're going to get hurt. Hurt. But he's right there. Y'all understand when I talked about that? That was my closet. I could go driving down the road with my CD on. There were CDs then in the day. CDs. No audio jack, not just CD. And I could be going down the highway crying. Hands off the wheel. Never get into an accident. If I wanted to hear God, I'd get in my truck and just drive. And he would speak. Even in something that I chose to do. And then he stretched me and said, what will you do now that it's gone? remember what came to me next?
Was a staff.
He says, now walk in your backyard.
Left.
Walk in your backyard. Walk in it. And so you begin to create a pattern. As you walk in it, know this. I will never leave you nor forsake you, even on the decisions that you make that were not ordained of me. But I'll be right there with you. So I begin to walk with my staff and walk around and say, God, I don't like this feeling. I don't like this feeling. He says, now you hear me, don't you? I got your attention. Daddy, what do you mean? What do you mean? Because you're so focused on doing things your way. Why don't you do it my way? Let that truck be a sacrifice. Watch what I'll do for you. That was 8 years ago. We've been in our house 7 years, 8 years. Hadn't had a vehicle since. Oh, yeah, remember that? What I'm talking about? Hey, this was God. Maybe I heard God to get this truck. No, you didn't. You heard yourself. See, he said, you're going to go through a season of not having. And you're going to get very frustrated every time you got to ask your wife for a ride to wherever you need to go. Mm-hmm. And then I'm going to turn up the fire because I'm going to turn the AC off and you can't fix it. AC, go ahead. Kids in the back just melting. Threshing floor. The threshing floor. I got rocked. Let me put my hand to fix it. Let me fix it. It's called Mechanic Jeff. Jeff, can you fix it? Jeff said, let me look on YouTube. Got good news and I got bad news. What's the good news? It ain't that bad. What do you mean? Well, I can fix it. Well, what's the bad news? It's going to cost you a lot of money. And we ain't going to fix it. And drive 55 with the windows up, but you put those windows down, boy, what's up? And then all of a sudden, we just happen to take it to this place and they fix it. Well, this is what it was all about. Just that little switch. I can do this. I can deal with this. No problem. 2 weeks later, bam. Out again. God, what are you doing? I want to bless you, but it's going to cost you something. I ain't got nothing to give, God. I've given everything I can give. Watch this. Watch this timing. Give me your coffee. Remember that, Justice? Give me your coffee. Coffee is bad for you. And coffee will store up fat. And then, and you know, you can't get rid of that belly fat you've been trying to get rid of, right? And I'm over there at Costco. Like, yeah. Huh? And the Lord says, give me your coffee. That's the devil. That's the devil. Don't take my coffee away. Coffee's good for your liver, right? Just no. We try to make it out. It's good for you. Yeah. Give it to me. Why don't you change your eating habits? I know I didn't hear God on this one. Change your eating habits. Start eating clean. My food is clean. No, I want you to eat clean. I'll do this. So then I do it. Watch this. Then I get a... Pastor, I need to take you to go get a vehicle. It's time for you to get yours. So you can have the smile back on your face. Don't play with me. He says, come on. I know you better come with me because I don't think this is for real. just don't happen to me. You know what I did, John? I'll take that beat down truck. I don't care. It's a truck. I just want a truck. It has no dashboard. Seats were all torn. Tires, they went in, not out. I'll take this one. What did I go to? I went to something to settle. What about that one? Kidding me? You can't get that. That's a convertible. You want it? I want it. Not a truck, but I'll take it. I got the first thing I check. AC, baby. Turn that car. AC work. This is it. It works. I didn't care a convertible. Pulled the latch and convertible. I said, it's probably not gonna work. Hey, Mira. When I made my sacrifice to do the thing that God asked me to do by the prompting of the Holy Spirit, my blessing came to me. Came to me. And I can jump in that car. And my auntie asked, why you got so suntan? What's going on with you? I pull that top down, that convertible, every single day. I take Josh to go to his practice in the morning. That top come down. I take Hannah to go to her volleyball camp. That top comes down. It may be 100 degrees. That top is down. Shades are. What's up, God? I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. You made a way when there was no way. You made it death free. I made a sacrifice. But you brought it to me, God, because I gave up something. You. And then all of a sudden things begin to change. My perspective and my views changed. He never takes anything away from you just to do it. He does it because he wants to get something to you. To you. I got the taxes. Don't worry about nothing. And then the gentleman I bought it from, he goes, if you ever have a problem, come bring it to me. Don't take it anywhere else. I'll take care of you. His name was Muhammad. And Muhammad said, when you need any spark plugs, I'll change them for you for free. I got to take care of the man of God. Come and bring it to me. Bring it to me. Not only did I get what I wanted, watch this. Oh, I got special time with my wife. That we can take off at night and put the top down and just ride. Ride. And spend hours on the road just driving and laughing and looking at each other, crying like, God, you did it. You did it, God. You did it, God. It wasn't in my hand, but because you asked of me to give something that was of value to me, you did it for me. Purposely for me. Came to my door saying, I've got to bless you. Because it was personal. And he did away with the lack that was in my life. And I told my wife, we'll be Ken and Barbie, I don't care. Put down that top and we're going to go for a ride. We'll be 21 all over again. And we'll drive for hours and we'll drive for hours. And we come home, we'll look at each other and say, that was fun. Where did you go? I went everywhere. I went to places in the backcountry and I look at it, I said, I want that land, I want that house, I want that God. Because you're the God that can give things to me that I so desire. Why? Because I will bless the people of God with what you give me. It will not be just for me, it'll be for the kingdom of God. It'll be for the people of God. Why? Because you reinstilled hope, God. Hope to me. Where my hope was deferred. That was my Philistine. That was the thing I needed God to come in and do a thing for me. And when he did it, I said, God, not just for me, but for my family. And then when he spoke to me about the car, he says, look, when you open up the top, there's no more ceiling on your ministry. no more limits. No limits. So when he did it, I knew what he was saying. If you give me a little, and it wasn't money, but it was something that I love. Y'all all know how I love coffee. Before service starts, like 6 cups of coffee. Like... But when I gave that up, I said, here comes the headaches now. That's it. I know headaches are coming. Not one headache. Not one headache. But I found out something that God says he'll require the things of you that you'll feel. It's a real sacrifice. What did my kids say when I said, I'm giving up coffee? They both said, we're leaving. We're not staying. We're staying with Nana and Kathy. And so we're staying over there. We ain't staying here. You know how you get without coffee. We're not staying here. No, we're not. We're leaving. We're leaving. And they start packing their bags. It, I felt it. That's why when the door bell rang, and it was, I got to take you to bless you. Because God has a way of getting things to you, what you're in need of. I wanted a truck. I said, you don't need a truck. This is what you need. And your kids are going to love riding in it. Your wife's going to love it even more. I said, no, God, because if we get this, she's going to drive it all the time. She says, you drive it. Now you know how this is, God. I can get home from bringing Hannah from her volleyball practice, and then I got to leave right again. I don't care. Get back in the car again. Let's go. And come back from the store and say, okay, I forgot you to go get. I'll go again. No matter what. Time talk coming down. We even got to carry the sunscreen in the car. Way off track. Jesus, help me. So they brought in the ark of the Lord and set it in its place inside the tent which David had pitched for it. And David offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before the Lord. When David had finished offering the burnt offering and the peace offering, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord of hosts. Further, he distributed to all the people, to all the multitude of Israel, both to men and women, a cake of bread and one of dates and one of raisins to each one. Then all the people departed, each to his house. What I want to tell you right now is that there's a prescribed way to move the presence of God and to move with the presence of God, and it requires a sacrifice. But every time a sacrifice is made, you will see that God is going to move on your behalf. And when he moves on your behalf, there's a requirement of you, a high priest. Watch this now. A high priest. We are all the high priest of God. That you will go into your house and you'll bless your family, your children, and you'll bless them with the authority that God has given you to remove and break the yoke of oppression off of your house. Now, as the high priest of this house, when you bring your sacrifice today, not your tithe and your offering, but your sacrifice, not only will I lay prostrate on it and bless it, then I will rise and lay hand on each and every one of you as the prescribed way to bless you, and then offer you the baked cake back there and say, look, go on home to your house and walk in the fullness of what God has for you. Walk in that, because he's doing it a prescribed way for us not to negate it, not to miss it. Because the ephod, the righteousness of God and the will of God are together with his word of God. And you'll see the breaker anointing be released into your life, released into your house and into your lineage. God is doing a thing. He is sending the angels to war on your behalf because you lined up with the word of God. It's a season that he's released the breaker's anointing. Oh my God, watch this. In Daniel 12:1 it says, at the time Michael the archangel who stands guard over your nation will arise. Then there will be a time of anguish greater than any since nations first came into existence. But at that time, every one of your people whose name is written in the book will be rescued. Angels are coming to your rescue. Your rescue. And he makes it a point to say, Michael the archangel, a high-ranking angel. Not just an angel that just shows up and flutters around you. Bless God for that. But a high-ranking angel that will war on your behalf. That not even a demon or principality can step foot in his presence. Because he knows he's already whooped. Do you understand? The angel is working on your behalf. On your behalf. If you can get the envelopes ready. And what we're going to do right now is our regular tithe and offering. Don't get it mixed up with your sacrifice. I don't want anybody to leave. Don't nobody leave. Nobody leave. Your regular tithes and offering are going to go into the chest. Your sacrificial seed. Now, Pastor, I don't have money to give. Give something that you're going to feel. That you're going to feel. Pastor, I didn't bring nothing today. This isn't the only service we're going to do this. If you say, Pastor, I brought my sacrificial seed on Wednesday, and it's not money because I don't have money to give, then you bring it on Wednesday. Or if it's next Sunday, then you bring it next Sunday. But if you have the means and God has spoken to you right now, or has spoken to you on Wednesday on what to give, then you be obedient to that prompting. Amen? Because God wants to get to you your blessing. Your blessing. Your tithe and offering will go into the chest. And then your sacrifice.